Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
It's Hospi Vision time here on Radio Pulpit. Welcome to the program today. And I have with me in the studio Tanya Forster, and she's an old, well-known person. She's done many devotions for us. She's been with us. How long? 3 years,
Tanya? Three years.
Yeah. That's a long time, eh?
Yeah. All this furniture. Oh, it's just a pleasure to be here, Peter. Yes, thank you. I heard you went to the Kalahari recently. Tell us about it.
Mm. Yeah, we were invited to go and minister in a place called Nunipek. And that was the smallest little town I have ever seen. If you walk through it, you must keep your eyes peeled, otherwise you'll miss it. It's a tiny little town, a total population of 120 people. And we presented to them a course in evangelism. And amazing outcome was 29 people attended the course. So that was very special for us. And they were lovely people, but it's a place, there's no tourism, there's nothing to see. It's like desert with a few bushes here and there, farms in the vicinity. And so they don't see strangers often. And they check you out, as I say in Afrikaans, they check you uit met 'n hout oog. So the stranger is something unknown. They don't often see strangers. So it took some effort to reach out to them, to get them to contribute and just accept us. But it was amazing how open they were, how willing they were, and wonderful people, really wonderful people. And well, at the end of the time that we were there, we were just due to leave, and they said, no, wait. And they lined up, and each one gave us a hug. So that was very special.
That's special for us.
And then, we had people who knew the gospel. And as I was going on, there's a missionary in the town there. In his yard, he built this little community center. And it comfortably holds about 30 or 40 people. And so it was just nice and big. And he said to me, as I was presenting this, he said to me, these people know this. They know the gospel. You know, they're Christians. They know the gospel. And then the punchline came when I taught them how to lead somebody else to Christ. And he said, that they didn't know. So that was special for them. And they had this song there, Jesus het my mooi gemaakt. Jesus made me beautiful. And I love this song. It's got all sorts of little movements, you know, that they make with it. And then the words are, wikkel die lyfie, so that little body, you know, moves back and forth like in a jive. And every time we took a break, we had to, I said, I sing that song for me. I love it. And so we had a really good time there. It was very far from everything. It's about 2.5 hours drive from Upington. And dirt road, 130 kilometers dirt road, and you have to take it very, very slow. And I'm just thankful we didn't have any damage. It's what they do. If you have a breakdown somewhere along that road, there's nobody. The farms are so big that it's miles and miles and miles you've got to walk to get to the nearest farm, if you know where the house is, because most of them you can't see the house. So they have an arrangement that when you are there, on your way to Nunipet, they ask you to call and say you're on your way so that they know what time you leave. And if you're not there within 2.5 hours, they come looking for you. Mm. So it's really very isolated. But we had lots of fun with the people there. We had really good meals and, you know, we had a lot of fellowship. For us, that was a wonderful experience. And I believe for those people, they said that they really enjoyed the time that we had there. We did the stewardship course with them as well. They learned things that they never learned before, because as far as they were concerned, stewardship is just about money. And we taught them stewardship is about your family, your time, your job, and all these things that we... So it was actually a much more encompassing than the normal stewardship courses. And they enjoyed it. They loved it. And they, you know, we can see the appreciation, and that makes it so much worthwhile because it's far to travel. It's a long way to travel. It's 12, 15 hours that you have to travel with the dirt road from Pretoria. But it was more than worthwhile. I'll go back anytime. I just love those people. They are so wonderful, those people. And then when we'd finished there, we traveled back to Upington, and we had another appointment in Camus, down about 40 kilometers from Upington. But we were so tired from that dirt road, and we stopped at the nearest takeaway. I think it was a McDonald's. We stopped there for a cup of coffee, and we were still drinking the coffee, and they phoned and said, "When are you coming? We're waiting for you. Come, come." And there it was a church that had invited us, and the church said that the pastor said, well, it was a dominie. She said, the church council, the Oderlinger and the diakons, the deacons and the elders, don't know how to lead anybody to Christ. Would we please come and teach them? And so we went there and had the soul-winning course, and it was amazing to see how willing to learn the people are, how friendly they are. We stayed in a house of a lady, her husband had passed away, and as we were having a meal, she made the comment that she's never had white people staying in her house. And Elaine and I were totally bowled out. We had never thought that we didn't even think of race. We've traveled so many places in the world. For us, it's just not a factor. But we had a wonderful fellowship with them, and we shared testimonies with her and her daughter. And at this church, I preached on the Sunday, which was coincidentally our 45th wedding anniversary for my wife and I. Sure. And so after this, now this is a very, really conservative church, and I was very hesitant to make an invitation. I'm not sure they've ever had that. But at the end of the service, the pastor actually made an invitation and said if anybody would like to speak to us or would like to be ministered to, they must meet in the church hall, which they did. And we had a good session with quite a number of them. And then just as we were finishing up, this little girl came to me about 10 years old, and I said to her, "Yeah, and what can I pray for you for you?" And she said, "Pastor, I just want to go to heaven." And I had that privilege to lead her to Christ that morning, and I think that was probably the highlight of our whole tour. So we had, on the evenings, we had, that was for people working, we had a course in the evenings, and then When we'd finished we had the mornings, we would go to another church, which was a very small church, and it was ladies who weren't working, and there were some retired people, so it wasn't a big group, it was 10 or 15 people, and we presented the same courses to them, and really built up relationships. So that was a very special time. And there's nobody there that didn't hear the gospel. They all heard the gospel. The big church had about 500 people, 400, I'm not sure. But they had a lot of people. It was a big church and it was pretty full. But this second church that we did in the mornings was a very small church. And the building was big. It could take about 300 people, maybe 400 even. And as we broke for a break, we were talking to one of the guys, and he was a retired teacher. And he was very worried about that particular congregation. He said, "We've got this big church, and it seems that there's nothing happening. The people aren't coming to church." He says, "We're doing everything right. We have our prayer meetings. We have church services, we have music, we have prayer, we have everything that we should do, we're doing, and we're doing it right." He says, "I can't understand why only about 30 people pitch up for church. It's hardly the front two rows that people come for church. And he said, we're doing everything right. I can't understand why this is so. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that just gave me the insight. And I said to him, where's Jesus in all of this? And he stopped dead. He said, you know, I hadn't thought of that. And I think that for me was an eye-opener, because are we not in many of our churches playing church instead of really making contact with Jesus Christ? Mm. So that was really for us a high point. Just being able to minister God's love to the people. And, you know, that is part of our ministry. That's the way we work. We've traveled in more than 20 countries worldwide. And wherever we go, we have met such amazing Christians, and we were able to fellowship in terms of just love. Sharing God's love with each other.
Mm. It's the different cultures that God brings the cultures together in fellowship. That's just wonderful to realize it. So we are speaking here about the different lady you mentioned said it's the first time she's had white people in her house. Is she a Busman?
No. Actually, they. I think they're Griquas.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. They could be just colored people as well. I'm not sure what their origins are. The same with Nunipet, we weren't sure what, I think probably it's a mixture of the whole lot.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So when 2 years ago, we went to the Kalahari as well, and there we had only Bushmen. Mm. So we've ministered to them as well. The amazing thing is they've lost their Bushman language. We could only find one person who could speak the Bushman language. The rest of them spoke Afrikaans.
Sure.
All of them. And the other thing about Nunipet that was interesting is nobody reads.
Oh.
So we couldn't give them, we have these little John's Gospels from Every Home for Christ. And we always distribute those when we present the soul winning course. We couldn't give that to them. I had a Bible that nobody was interested because they don't read. So it was, that's uncomfortable. Now we had to use like really practical things. We had living ball that color-coded sport balls, soccer balls, netballs, and we would use the colors to explain the gospel. So we shared that with them. I also took along the gospel dolls, got a special gospel doll that we shared the gospel with. Practical things like that they could use. So, that was something we'd never done before. I could not use the PowerPoint that we normally use. Mm. Because it's all written on the PowerPoint and they don't read. You need pictures.
Mm.
So I did use pictures. When we did the stewardship course, I had to use the PowerPoint. It's just too much information. Mm. But I always put pictures in the PowerPoints as well.
That's fantastic.
So it was all in all a wonderful experience for us all. And I hope our listeners enjoyed that one.
Definitely. I enjoyed this.
It's good fun. It's good fun to be in ministry. It's not always easy. You have your tough times. We've had some really tough times in ministry. But this time it was one big pleasure. They were so good to us. Oh, and the last thing that I must mention is just after that church service in Kamus, we had lunch with Pastor Farmer, and he was he's a retired preacher, and there was a young man there, and he invited us. He was the principal of a school out in the Bundus, wherever, and he has a school of some 780 children, and he asked us to come and share the gospel with these children. And when we got to the school, he had these big signs up all over the place, stating that this school is a Christian school, and that really blessed us. And I said to him, well, doesn't the department have a problem with that? And he said to me, the department doesn't have a problem. He says, but because our school's results are so good that they think, just leave it.
That's
fantastic. So it's really a testimony, that school. My wife went and shared the gospel with the small children up to grade three, and I spoke to the bigger children and just shared with them about the eagle. And they loved every minute of it. So it was really, I've never seen such amazing discipline in a school as at that school. It was excellent discipline. But for us, it was an experience second to none. But anyway, I think our time's run out. So I think let's just remind our listeners that you're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. The program is Hospice Vision, and it's time for our devotion. And I've asked Orkut van der Schaeff to come and do a devotion for us. Thanks, Orkut. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Peter. My privilege. We read from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This scripture is probably one of the best known scriptures for most Christians, and we generally refer to it as the Great Commission. And we understand that to be Jesus Christ commanding us to preach or spread the gospel and the good news of salvation wherever we go. We also understand that we are not all missionaries and evangelists and priests and preachers, but for most of us, the harvest field is not in faraway countries or lost people in inaccessible jungles or deserts or the most remote parts of the world, but it is rather the country and society we live in every day. Much has also been said about our lifestyle and behavior, confirming and testifying to the message we are preaching. We cannot live a willfully sinful life and expect people to accept the message about repentance and salvation which we preach. The Bible also teaches us that when we carry out the Great Commission in our lives, wonders and signs or miracles will follow our message, will confirm our message. As we read in Acts 14, verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas stayed on there for a long time, speaking freely and fearlessly and boldly in the Lord, who continued to bear testimony to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be performed by their hands. While we should strive to carry out the Great Commission, as just said now, we should also take a step back and start much closer to home. Where am I in the Great Commission? Am I sure that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I fully surrendered my life to Him? Is Jesus present and visible in my life to those nearest and dearest to me? If that is true, then the next question is whether those closest to me have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. My wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my closest family and friends. The Bible is clear that salvation should start with me and my loved ones before I should look to the horizon and beyond for executing the Great Commission. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will show us where we are not close enough to you in our daily walk. Please fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit and lead us to touch the lives of those near us with your love and message of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, and thank you for that. Well, let's make some music. I'm going to play for you King of Glory by Mervis.
Real radio for real people serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
That was King of Glory by Mervis. Two announcements that I'd like to make for you. We have at Hospice Vision got two courses coming up. The first one is Spiritual Care and Counseling for the Sick, and if you're involved in that sort of ministry, you're welcome to attend the course. It is, of course, accredited with the University of Pretoria, and you can get credits if you should decide to study further. Now, this Spiritual Care and Counseling for the Sick takes place from the 7th to the 9th of October. It's an online course, so you need to register for that as quickly as possible. And then also the second course that will be running, and that's from the 14th to the 16th of October, and that is trauma counseling. So if you're interested in trauma counseling, you'd like to learn the techniques and so on, 14th to 16th October, you can contact Hospivision's head office and we'll give you the details. The Hospivision's head office here in Pretoria, the number is 012-329-9492. And then you can also send Luvengo, who's the person working in the office there, you can send Luvengo an email at friend@hospivision.org.za. And if you want to have a look at our website, it's hospivision.org.za. And then our snail mail address, PO Box 12423, Queenswood 0121. Folks, that's it for today. It was great being with you. And Tanya, thank you for being with us in the studio. And Okut, it was great having you guys.
Pleasure. Thank you,
Peter.
And I'm going to play out with you an Afrikaans song, because I like the Afrikaans words here. Kyk, hy kom, from the Drakensberg Boys Choir.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.